The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
I gotta tell you, ladies and gentlemen, didn't think we'd be starting the show on what is Sunday morning here on the East Coast, 12:09 a.m. Eastern Time. We thought, if you guessed that Derek Lewis and Jailton Almeida was gonna go the full five, congratulations to you, because you probably won a whole bunch of money on that bet. And secondly, you're probably incredibly surprised. You probably just said that and didn't actually believe it, but here we are, ladies and gentlemen. The victory horns are sounding for Jailton Almeida after a dominant performance against Derek Lewis, a somewhat frustrating performance against Derek Lewis. It depends on who you ask, and I have a feeling things are going to get very spicy here on the UFC Sao Paulo post-fight show. It's going to be like a little mini episode of BTL here, responding and reacting to what we just saw from Jailton Almeida against Derek Lewis. We saw some really great performances. We saw a couple of fun fights. This, all in all, is just a very weird card, and we're here to talk all about it. I am Mike Heck, and joining me is my best friend, at least for right now, the Prince of Positivity, Mr. Alexander Kaylee. AK, hello, buddy. How are you?
I'm thrilled. My blood is pumping for that main event. God, I don't know how you're so calm, my best friend. I guess you're more professional than I am. I can't believe you settled down after what we just saw.
And joining us this week, it's a very special and rare occasion, but it's always exciting when New York Rick joins us for the post-fight festivities. New York Rick, that's the face I have. How are you, my friend? You're muted. I can't hear you.
Speechless. He's speechless.
Oh, no, I can't hear you.
I would be too. I would be too after what I just witnessed, New York Rick. What if we had a conversation?
Wait, jumping real quick. New York Rick, can we hear you? Can we hear you? What's going on? No, did we not do any test BO for you? Was it just us complaining, talking about the fights before?
It was. He was talking. Oh, I was wondering why he wasn't chiming in before the show.
All right.
This makes sense now.
I thought he was just being quiet. Casey, do you want to work on this, and we'll get I'll talk to AK for a minute.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Go for it.
Sounds good.
All right. My best friend.
Yes. My best friend.
You have been very vocal and very public about how high you view Jailton Almeida as a heavyweight contender. You've made no secret about it. This was a 5-round dominant performance. I saw some people on our website, I actually believe you did as well, scored it 50-40.
50-40.
Jailton Almeida.
Yep.
Let me ask you this, AK, and you're my best friend, and you won't lie to us. You won't lie to the world. How do you grade Jailton Almeida's performance here? How do you grade this win?
My best friend, it's funny you ask, because I've thrown up a poll. I'm just one man's opinion. So I've thrown up a poll, and it is not going well for my boy Jailton. I'll tell you that right now. And we've got quite a few votes in already. 2 minutes in, we've got more than enough votes for a reasonable sample size. Obviously, I did A, B, C, D, or lower. D or lower, way ahead right now at a solid
50%. Wow.
So I'll tell you right now, the voice of the people, not happy with what they saw in. I mean, I don't think anyone would argue he won the fight. Did he put on a great performance? Clearly, that is up for debate, or at least it's somewhat up for debate, not with a lot of our commenters. And some of our viewers, I see the comments already. People not happy, Mike. People not happy with Jailton Almeida. I would go, I'll go B. I won't go A. Don't worry. Obviously, I'm a little more, I'm a little bit higher, I guess, on what we saw tonight than most, but I can't go A. A would have been if he'd finished the fight. He should have finished the fight. That I won't deny. He should have finished the fight. He should have at least done more damage so that people, you know, so that we could say 10-8 with more authority, right? Because anyone who reads my robbery reviews, I'm one of the, you know, proponents of like preaching damage is so important. Even though, by the way, we need to tell people again, damage is not really a word in the criteria, but when we say damage, people know what we mean. We want to see people throwing punches, impact. Impact is the word used in the official rules. But I think a lot of us interpret that as damage and not unreasonably so, right? I think that's a fair interpretation of the word impact. You want to see someone doing something to try and finish the fight. And outside of a couple of submission attempts, I will say it did suck that Almeida didn't really come close. I think there was one of those arm triangles, maybe a couple of arm triangles looked pretty good, but the commentary did a really good job of sort of breaking down what Derek Lewis was doing, the techniques Derek Lewis was using to survive. So I don't know if anything was really that close. But I feel comfortable with a sweep of 10-8s because Lewis did literally nothing and gave up multiple dominant positions. If it had just been like in guard, if it had just been even just sitting in back control and like literally nothing happening, I would have been fine with saying, and by the way, I'm okay with saying some of those rounds were not 10-8s. I think round four, I was very close. People took the live blog. I said 10-8 all the rounds, but round four, you could definitely say it was a 10-9, probably one of the other rounds at least. But I would have liked to see more 10-8s because you don't need to have, this is one of the misconceptions people have, you don't need all three criteria still. That's like an old thing. You need all three criteria to get a 10-8. You just need to show off at least a couple of them, and dominance is one of them. This is about as dominant as you can get without really getting hurt at all. So for me, this is what a 10-8 looks like if you can't finish a fight. I never thought I'd see a 50-40. Most people don't feel they saw a 50-40 tonight, but if there ever was a 50-40 card, this is what it would look like, I think.
New York Rick, do we have you?
No, I see him.
I heard you for a second. I heard the button. Why is it not working?
I think it was AK's button.
Oh, it was AK.
That was me. I'll continue just a little bit because I do want to clarify. I do want to clarify. We'll get New York Rick here in a second. Don't worry, guys. He has a take on it. It needs to be heard.
I can counter some of this if you'd like.
Well, Mike, before you counter, though, I'll ask you this. If just one of those rounds looked like that, I think it's because the whole fight looked like that, people got frustrated. And you don't want to reward a guy for, again, just getting those positions and not finishing with them. So I understand. But if one of those rounds had looked like that, I think you would have been comfortable giving that a 10-8, right? Like, were you okay with a 10-8 round one?
I was teetering it. I kind of felt like round two, which I think was the only 10-8 round scored by anybody in that fight from the three judges, I think that was a 10-8. Like, I think that was actually more dominant than, because I actually thought Jailton was like, I'm going to get him out of here. Like, this is it. There's no way he can survive all these submission attempts here. And Derek literally did nothing in that round. He at least threw some punches. Threw a couple of elbows in round one. Like, he did something. Round two, he didn't really do anything. Round three, he did some stuff, threw a little more damage, and then he landed stuff. Like, he landed the most impactful shots of like rounds four and five, but just happened to be like while he was falling down again because he kept getting taken down over and over again. So I don't know, man. Like, I took some things away from Jailton Almeida. There's no doubt about it. This was very Mackenzie Dernish to me. This was a Mackenzie Dernish kind of main event performance. And I'm not talking about the Angela Hill fight, because that's what happens when, because we've been saying, even before the Angela Hill fight, like, we're like, damn, if Mackenzie Dern could just actually like throw punches, like, she's going to be really good at this fighting thing. Like, this is the one thing she's missing. If Jailton like landed punches in this fight, but like, geez Louise, man, if he just like in some of those mount positions after Derek Lewis defended the 374th arm triangle attempt, like, just throw some punches. And when he was throwing punches, he was hurting Derek Lewis. There was a point, I think, I don't know if it was the end of round three or round, I think it was the end of round three. Derek, like, if there's another 30 seconds and he kept punching, like, the fight would have been stopped. Like, that fight would have been over. And if Jailton just threw some punches while he had Derek in such bad positions, like, that fight would have been stopped in round one or two, I think, if he just got up and landed punches, but he didn't. And that's what was so frustrating about this, because he could have got him out of there. I don't know why he was so like, I have to submit this guy. If he just threw punch, like, I even picked TKO in this because I felt like Derek Lewis' submission defense was a little bit underrated, and it was actually more underrated than I thought. But if Jailton just threw some punches while he was in mount, like, the fight would have got stopped. It was very frustrating to watch because, one, we were seeing the same thing over and over again, and I get your point there. But there were many, many opportunities for him to finish this fight, and he just chose not to. And it was very frustrating to watch from that end, especially since I've been very high on Jailton Almeida. This is supposed to be like a showcase fight, and in some respects, he did showcase his superior wrestling and getting in really good positions. But he was supposed to go out there and melt Derek Lewis, get him out of there, and have a short night at the office, and he didn't do it. So B is... It's tough to say for like a dominant performance like that, getting 21 plus minutes of control time over the 5-round fight, but this is like a C plus for me, man. It really is. It was just kind of frustrating to watch, man, as dominant as it was.
I think it's like, it's easy to say, oh, he should have just poured it on, should have punched more. I think it's like harder to hold Derek Lewis down than people are giving Almeida credit for. And I think like, the moments when he, like, I think he picked his moments carefully when he could throw punches. And yeah, maybe he was definitely super cautious. There could have been moments where he could have taken more risks and probably gotten a finish. I agree. If people read the live blog, you can almost see me kind of rolling my eyes at some moments. And I'm going like, well, he's not, you know, Derek Lewis isn't doing anything, but Almeida's not exactly lighting the octagon on fire right now with his offense. So, but again, I'm just trying to put myself in his shoes where it's really hard to hold Derek Lewis down. The moments where they are on the feet were a little scary. I think you said, and I know Damon was saying in the Slack, that like Lewis kind of threw some shots that might have connected. And I don't think he landed anything too impactful, but it always feels like he's a moment away. So if you're Almeida, I think clearly the emphasis was on control and holding on to positions as opposed to, pouring on the ground and pound. I have a feeling they probably emphasize like not like only doing enough ground and pound to, you know, avoid being stood up, which is a shame that's not how these things should go. But holding Derek Lewis down is hard. And there's a big size disadvantage. We're talking like 30 plus pounds difference. I think Almeida was 236. Lewis was 265. And again, that's just their weigh-in weight, right? I think Lewis is a little bit more than that. So probably more than 30 pounds heavier. It's hard to keep people down. And he has good submission defense for the most part. He got taken out by Spivak. That was like one of his worst career performances. But I think that was more of an outlier than anything else. So he's not like super easy to submit. He's not super easy to finish on the ground. I choose to look maybe a little too optimistic, but I'm looking on the bright side here and saying like what he did was actually really impressive, just holding him down as long as he did. Could he have done more? Yeah, that's why I go for the B. A C plus, I kind of understand that too. I'm not going to hate on that score. But give him a lot of credit. He's a much smaller man fighting bigger guys. And if you want to make the case that that's his choice and he should be fighting at light heavyweight, that's more than fair. But if he can keep winning at heavyweight, which he did today definitively, then I see no problem with him fighting the way he fights.
Derek Rick, I think you're here. I think we have.
I'm here.
Yes. Welcome. So you probably heard everything AK had to say there. He rated
some Jailton of it. Almeida. Yeah.
He gave Jailton Almeida a B for this performance. He understands why some people might have been frustrated, but he gave him a B. I actually thought he was going to go higher than that, but he went with the B. I went with the C+, and I think that's probably being a little bit generous here. What do you give Jailton Almeida for this performance? It's dominant. Yeah,
an F.
Whoa.
Of the highest possible order, an absolute F.
Oh, why? Please share. I'm so excited for this.
Why? I mean, do I need to explain? Like, this was a showcase fight where a guy who's not a grappler was supposed to come in there and get submitted, and he laid on him for 5 rounds and threw no punches and didn't do the showcase part of the showcase. And then asked everybody in the crowd after the fight, did I give you a show? The answer is absolutely not. There was zero show given. And I couldn't be swayed away from an F. There's nothing you could do to convince me that that was anything other than an F, in fact.
AK, how do you feel about this? An F.
That's
an
harsh.
F.
I will say, Jelton's post-fight line, that was clearly, they were going to say, they had that pre-written. It, obviously, that's like what they were going to say if he won by first round submission, but they had it in the can anyway. So they're just like, yeah, you know what, just still say it. And I'm like, okay, I enjoy this performance somewhat. I wouldn't say you put on a show by any measure, certainly not by the UFC's entertainment standards. So I think F is a bit crazy. I think, I don't know if you can fail someone for putting on a dominant performance. If we're just talking about wins and losses, I guess you're coming at it from entertainment and also how this might have affected his stock.
Certainly in those regards, but like when the fight is set up for you to do one thing and you failed at doing that one thing, that's an F. You failed. Like it's not about like, did he win the fight? If all the question is do you win every single fight? The answer is no, because no fighter wins every single fight except Habib. But when you have the guy who is set up to come in there on short notice and get submitted and you do not submit him, you failed. It's a failure of the highest order. Now, could he have won by TKO, ground and pounding him? Sure. That would have been an acceptable outcome as well. But by all measures, this was not the outcome that was ordained. I don't care how effective he was at keeping control of Derek Lewis. Like that's not a metric for success for me for Jelton Almeida. If you ask me, do I think that Jelton Almeida can control Derek Lewis for 5 rounds if he wants to? Yeah, the answer is yes. And I think I knew that heading into the fight. So I didn't really need an affirmation. I didn't really need that to be confirmed for me.
AK, let me ask you this. There's a lot of talk.
Hold on. Wait, Mike. Sorry, my turn. I want to say, we have to remember, this was not the original assignment, right? The original assignment was Curtis Blades. So we're failing.
Yeah, this was the easier assignment.
This was the assignment that he had so much less to gain from. Because, yes, look, we would have all been much happier if he had taken Derek Lewis out in a round. That was the expectation. That was probably the odds on. I can't remember the odds, pre-fight odds. That's probably the odds on, you know, favorite thing to happen. But also, if he had just run through Derek Lewis, would he get an A grade for that? I don't know if he could even get an A anymore once the matchup was switched up, right? It's just
get something, but it wouldn't be.
But there was
F.
a lot to lose here too, right? Like I understand sort of why he fought safer. Like there was a lot to lose here. If he takes risk against Curtis Blades and he loses, then we're all like, okay, well, it's Curtis Blades. Curtis Blades is a top five guy. Stylistically, the matchup we want to see Almeida tested against, and he lost. It's like, we'll move on. If he gets knocked out by Derek Lewis, which really, again, could have happened if he had kind of messed around and, again, maybe taken some risks that he had not game planned for, that's an F. I mean, that's beyond F. We might never talk about this guy as a contender again. Like, I'm siding with the conservative mindset.
That's why the fight was made. The fight was made
to save the main event. I think they could have found anyone. I mean, Derek Lewis was just the name that pulled up.
Yeah. They could have found anyone, and you should have finished anyone who was found on short notice in that position. I'm completely sympathetic to the idea that you don't look as good as you normally would on short notice. I'm okay with that. Like I talked about that when it came to Islam and Alex and Hamzat and Kamaru. Like I'm okay with an outcome that doesn't look exactly the way we're expecting it to look. But this was the exact opposite. This was so far from what was expected. This was so far from what success actually looks like that I have no alternative but to grade it harshly. And it was an F.
And right before the heavyweight division gets put on display a week later, when you have this interim title fight, this could have happened before John Jones versus Stipe. This could have been the guy everybody's talking about, because you know how this sport is. What is the most recent thing you saw in this division from a high level? And if this is the performance heading into that, then it's just like, well, he's out of the conversation right now. So I ask you, AK.
Could I just say, by the way, I just want to clarify one thing. I don't think that Jelton Almeida should be ashamed of his performance. I don't think Jelton Almeida is sitting there going, oh, I messed up. What did I do? But we're not Jalton Almeida, and I can very easily just say that that was not what was expected of somebody who's supposed to be an Uber prospect. And I get that he's fighting bigger fighters, but that's what the heavyweight division is. If he wants to fight smaller fighters, and we're going to give Derek Lewis credit for being cagey and defensive and being able to get out of that because he's so large, then fight light heavyweights, quite frankly.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that end. I mean, he did win the fight. He did it without really breaking a whole lot of sweats, and he got two paychecks, and that's very important. So I ask you, AK, because there was a lot of talk heading into this fight about what sort of questions we have about Jalton Almeida, because he really hasn't been tested at all. He's just running over people. We had some answers. He was able to go five rounds, and you know, some people tweeted out, oh, that Jalton Almeida needs to go for broke because he might lose the fight, and that didn't really age all that well, but that's beside the point. What I mean is, do you still have more questions now? Like, did you come out of this with more questions? And is his stock higher after this? Like, do you feel like his stock is higher, or it's exactly where it was? Or did it perhaps drop a little bit after this performance?
I think it has to be the same. I think if you're the UFC, you're definitely not jumping for joy at this. Thankfully, the card itself, and I know we'll talk more about the rest of the card later, well, actually, it was pretty good. So if the rest of the card had been bad and he had put on this performance, I think he would have taken a lot of the brunt of the blame. That would be a real problem. That would be, he would have become sort of the face of what went wrong with UFC Sao Paulo. As it was, pretty good card, pretty memorable card. So the rest of the fighters might have helped a little bit to bail Jalton out of, I'm not going to say it, out of trouble, as it were. So I'll say mostly neutral. And I say this also, again, sort of playing off what I said before, where there's just not a lot he could have done against Derek Lewis that would have increased his stock a lot. He should have taken care of business, should have put himself in line for our performance bonus. I won't say them now, but spoiler, Jalton Almeida did not get a performance bonus. So yeah, he could have done more, but I think he did enough given the situation he was put in. Again, I'm not jumping for joy saying this is an A+. I think F is way too harsh, and I would think A is also crazy. I think if anyone gave him an A, I would also say that's way too far the other way. So that's kind of why I'm in the middle with B. Mike, I thought C+ was a very solid grade, but he very likely was not getting a title shot off this fight. And he could have flying arm triangled, did I just make that up? Derek Lewis in 15 seconds. He's not getting that title fight. It would have put him on the short list more, whereas this performance maybe didn't. But there just wasn't a lot to gain. So I there's one thing I learned, actually. I was a little bit impressed with his game planning and with his ability to conserve energy, because he should have gone for broke, but the fact that he didn't and lasted that 25 minutes, it actually was, like, I think a tougher, again, a more draining, tougher fight than people think. That impressed me because I need to see him be able to grind out those wins. Because I think even a Curtis Blaydes, I don't know if he would have finished him either. And I still want to see that fight made. And I think he'd have to fight a bit like this. If he couldn't put Blaydes away, I think he'd have to go 25 minutes with him. And now I know there's a chance that he could.
I actually think he did have a little bit to gain here. I don't think he would have gotten a title shot, but he even called out the name that he probably would have got if he finished Derek Lewis. He would have bypassed Curtis Blaydes had he gone out there and finished Derek Lewis. He would have got the Ciryl Gane fight, which I think he probably would have done really well in. But instead, I think he's just going to have to fight Curtis Blaydes anyways, because he gained nothing from this in a lot of respects. Do you agree with that, New York Rick?
Completely agree. You've nailed it. Like, there was a lot to be had here, and he left it on the table. And there's a very real chance that he still fights Ciryl Gane. I don't think his stock took, I'm giving him an F grade, and I still don't think his stock took that much of a hit, just by product of the context and the circumstance that the UFC heavyweight division, you're two fights away from a title shot at any given point. Like, you get one impressive performance and you string together another one on the back end of it, and you could be sitting in a title picture. He's fortunate to be in that division, and maybe that's by design. Maybe that's why he's not electing to potentially go down to light heavyweight, where it seems like he could potentially go. And now, granted, nobody wants to take a weight cut, and this might be just somewhere where he feels more comfortable. But it's smart, because this is a division, as I said, where you can get a title shot very quickly. So I don't think his stock takes a huge hit just by nature of that. But yeah, if I'm Ciryl Gane, I'm not taking that fight. Like, why would I take that fight against a guy who's obviously a very successful and elite grappler, when I have the takedown defense that I have if I'm Ciryl Gane? And by no means do I think the UFC is going to force me into that position if I'm Ciryl Gane. So yeah, like, nobody's going to be clamoring for that in any way. And he's going to be right back there with Curtis Blaydes if all goes according to what we expect. So, yeah, I think he left a lot on the table, but I don't think he takes a huge hit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think he's like where he's at heading in. I don't think he gained anything. He might have lost like a little bit short term. I think people are going to give him a little bit of crap for it. But it's because we just expect a lot from him. That's all. Let me ask you this, New York Rick, and then we'll reveal who the bonuses are. If you had the choice, if the UFC put out a poll right now and said, hey, this night ain't over yet, we're going to give you one more round of action. And New York Rick, you had to decide, one more round of Almeida Lewis or one more round of the most heated rivalry in the history of the heavyweight division, Rodrigo Nascimento versus Dontel Mays. What are you picking?
I mean, that's a no-brainer. Like, sign me up for the trilogy. Forget one more round. Do three more rounds right after. And don't give him any oxygen between. Just let him go. No, I mean, we're joking about it, but truly, what if that fight had five more rounds, what are we going to see out of Almeida and Lewis that we didn't see? Like, am I confident that he's going to finish him in five more? I'm actually not. Like, it seems like he's kind of stuck where he's at. And Derek Lewis has the capability to prevent him from doing much more. So, yeah, not interested in any more rounds of that fight. That can be tossed in the trash heap and never shown again.
Mike, I'll tell you something. 10 rounds, you would have gotten 96, 93, Fury. Oh, sorry. That's a wrong post-fight show. I pissed people off enough with that take. Now I'm making people mad with 54. You would have seen 190 if there was a 10 round. Yeah, every round would have gone the same. I want to believe Johnson would have found a finish in there somewhere, but that's purely speculative based on what we saw tonight. So, listen, 190 would have been impressive in its own way. People would have
been 180 on your card, AK.
By 100 to... That's right. It would have been 100. Wow, that would have been amazing. By the ninth round, they would have been performing in front of an empty arena. But still, you know, it would have been impressive in its own way. Shout-outs to the comments for pointing out this is the first time Derek Lewis has gone 25 minutes in his career. He's been scheduled for many five-round fights, but obviously almost none of them go the distance. So first time for – let's have a little applause for Derek Lewis. I mean, you could argue he was probably – he was even worse than Jelton, but this this is his, what, 40th pro fight, 28th in the UFC. First time he's ever had to go the full 25. A lot of it was spent just lying down, but still kind of impressive, right?
His stock goes nowhere either. His stock might even have gone up a tinge because he survived.
Derek Lewis's stock is impossible to ding. You cannot. His 100%. Stock never goes down. It just keeps going up. Well, it goes down. It goes up, and then it goes back to like a reset point, which is like, again, two fights away from a title. He goes in there and knocks out Jelton Almeida. He's one more. It's one. You get one more, and then he gets a title shot. So his stock is hard to ding. And also, let's be honest, he's in there to potentially try to knock somebody out with the few punches that he's going to have on the feet against Jelton Almeida. And everybody saw him try that. Like, he did exactly what he was intended to do. He did exactly what he was expected to do. So, yeah, that was what it was from Derek Lewis. And now he'll get booked against somebody fun and try to take their head off too. And maybe they're not going to wrestle him as much. And that's what Derek Lewis is. But I wasn't like overly impressed. That was just how Derek Lewis fights. And that was what I expected out of him. And sure, he did well in that circumstance.
Last thing before I reveal the bonuses, Jelton Almeida's quote of, oh, did I put on a show for you, was like the third most egregious thing that was said by winning
fighters. You were not happy with some of the there. You were not happy with
what
some
are
of the,
what are one and two work. reveal what are one and two.
Kyle. Number two is Rodrigo Nascimento asking for a $50,000 bonus because that is just insanity. And number one is Caio Baraglio calling out DDP and then saying, oh, you're running from me. DDP could be getting a title shot next. He's going to like, nah, you know what? Hey, Hunter, forget the title shot. I'm going to go back to the 28th ranked guy and fight him instead because he says I'm running from him. Just a bad call out. I'll reveal it. I'm telling you right now, on to the next one. He ain't fighting DDP. That's for damn sure. And we'll talk more about that. But the bonuses.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Pretty obvious here. Have you guys seen the bonuses yet?
I have not.
Yes, I have.
Okay, New York Rick, do you want to take a guess? There is a fight of the night, by the way.
There's a fight of the night? Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. What was fight of the night? Oh, my God. The guy who got the 10-8 in round three. Who? What was the 10-8 in round three?
Fakhretdinov and
Zaki. Yes. Yes, that fight of the night. And Dalby, wow, really? Okay. Actually, there
continue
were some other good ones that I'm
continue
forgetting.
On. You started with the fight of the night. You just said one of the names.
Dalby?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay, interesting. I would have thought that would be a performance. But okay, Dalby and Bonfim get fight of the night. I guess I can see it because, you know, it was the tale of two different, like, rounds and performances. So I get that. I would have probably given it to the draw. Performances, Eduardo Ronda.
Nope, she missed weight.
Wow. Oh, by yeah, Derp. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That probably would have earned it. Brenner, obviously, right?
Yep.
And then one more. I don't know. I'm blanking.
Vitor Petrino.
With oh, yeah. Another one-shotter. Yep. Yeah. Those all make sense. I would have probably given fight a different spot, but it's hard to also feel bad about that. That was an awesome fight.
Yes, Nicholas Dalby, man.
Yeah.
Live. I mean, this man, he said the fourth most egregious thing, saying, you know what? I don't need to fight in Brazil anymore. I want to fight closer to home. No. You need to fight in Brazil every fight.
They won't book him, though, because they want the Brazilians to show out in front of the hometown. I wouldn't book them. Get them as far away from Brazil as possible so they can keep the Brazil guys winning in front of the home crowd.
If he fights in Brazil for his next four fights, he's going to get a title shot before Bilal Muhammad does. Like, that's just, like, he's just going to keep winning and putting on, like, electric fights. It's absolutely insane. But what a performance from Nicholas Dalby. The guy is just, tough as hell. He's a fighter's fighter.
Can I just read a comment here from Daniel Grigg? That Almeida fight is how you ensure nobody ever wants to watch you again. The UFC just can't ever book him in a pay-per-view now. Oh, yes. Heavyweights never have boring fights. Or heavyweights never have boring fights and then are booked in big spots again. Oh, wait a minute. Derek Lewis versus Francis Ngannou. Derek Lewis has headlined many cards since then. Francis Ngannou, literally the biggest name in combat sports right now. This is what we're up against. You understand? This is what I'm up against here. If people make these wild claims that one fight, this is MMA. Almeida can finish the next guy and people won't even remember this. I mean, they might bring it up. They still bring up Lewis Ngannou. I just did. But no, this is, especially heavyweight MMA, it's so easy. A lot of great heavyweights that people love have been in some stankers. And trust me, they have moved on just fine. So let's not overreact here.
Look, if they book him with Curtis Blaydes and he just ices Curtis Blaydes in like 4 minutes, yeah, then this would just be like a... Remember, Ciryl Gane was a boring heavyweight for a little while. You remember those Dana White post-fight press conferences? Mm-hmm. Not people forget about those. Remember the Jarzinho fight?
Is. Some would argue, yeah, still is.
But he's been fun in his last couple. He's been fun in his last couple fights. Maybe not the John fight because he never really got to fight. But the Paris, both those Paris fights were pretty fun. He just killed Sergey Spivak. But the Tai Tuivasa fight was, yeah, incredible.
So good.
It was a great fight.
So good.
Maybe not as good as Rodrigo Nascimento, Dontel Mays 2. I can't wait for the trilogy in 2026. It's going to be spectacular.
Did we ever figure out why this happened? New York, Rick, no. You're a smarter man than I. Why did they book this? What was this? It was a good fight. It was a fun fight. It's why?
What do you mean? The clamoring online for the rematch. Uh-huh.
See, I'm not on the forums. I'm not on the forums.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get on social. I'll compile the tweets for you so you, yeah, can see like how many people were just like, I need it. I need it. This fight.
Too many unanswered questions. Too many unanswered questions.
And we walk away with more. So let's do it the third time. There are still unanswered questions.
Oh my God.
I want to answer a question. How many times can they do this fight? And people forget that it happened before. Because there's probably a few. There's probably a
Typology
lot
did. Typology did. Added the two to the end of the matchup today. I see you, Typology. I know you forgot because I did. I see, wow, you, Typology. They added, wow, it like today or yesterday. I think after our preview show, they added it.
It's going to be a time-honored tradition. Every 3 years, these two dudes are going to run it back on a main card, and it's going to be electric. It's going to be electric. Let's see if Dontel Mays can make the adjustments heading into the trilogy. Caio Braulio improves to 5-0 in the UFC, defeats Abus Magomedov. That happened. Elvis Brenner, dude, might be the rookie of the year this year when we do our voting. 3-0 in the UFC. Some really good wins and a walk-off freaking knockout. Absolutely nasty stuff from Elvis Brenner. What a year he is having. Renat Fokhretdinov, Eliza Zaleski, fight to a draw. Fun fight, kind of a weird fight. Renat Fokhretdinov was like so friendly. I didn't really expect that to happen, but friendly Renat. A mythical fighter, apparently. Vitor Petrino knocks out Modestus Bukauskas. How about Angela Hill? Just living the dream, AK. And I thought you had the tweet of the night, AK, in regards to this fight. Repeat that tweet, AK, or at least paraphrase, yeah, it.
I mean, this is why you keep fighters like Angela Hill around. I know she takes a lot of flack. They're like, oh, she has like a sub-500 record in her, like, overall, and she's like barely above 500 in her second stint with the UFC. It's like, she fights killers. She has one of the toughest strengths of schedules of any active fighter right now. It's just nothing but, it's either killers or, again, up-and-comers that they match her up with, like Denise Gomez, who they think are just going to run through her and make a name off her. Experience goes a long way, man. And I should have known this with the co-main, where there's a similar age gap between Dalby and Bonfim. I picked Bonfim because I'm a fool. But same with Angela Hill. And it's like a 14, 15 year age difference, but a gap of like 20 something fights. It's not just 20 something fights. Like, the level of competition is so big. And you keep Angela Hill around to test fighters like this and to push them to be better. This is not the end of Denise Gomez. Angela Hill said the right thing after in her post fight. Denise is going to be a contender someday. I totally agree. If they met at a different stage of their careers, I think Gomez was favored here. I think she'd be favored again. But right now, this version of Angela Hill was just too much for this version of Gomez. And that's fine. That's the quality of Angela Hill. So now you know where Denise Gomez is a prospect, and you can adjust accordingly. And meanwhile, you got an entertaining fight out of it. One that I think could have also been worthy of the fight of the night. Just, it was really, really enjoyable to watch.
We had the first finish of the card coming by the aforementioned Eduarda Maura, who missed weight by a lot. But boy, Montserrat Conejo Ruiz, these two looked like, and they were in different weight classes. It was like a bantamweight versus an atomweight in there. It's crazy.
They really are. Montserrat is just not the right size for this weight class. That's the reality. They literally were different weight classes.
She tried her darndest. I'll give her that.
And then she's game.
If you guys missed it, you don't need to go back and watch the first fight of the night. Mark Jacasey, D1 Jacasey, to the ninth degree. This was
isn't it wild how that's just become his style? Like, it's just that at this point. It's very weird, no? Like, he was a guy coming up that was a striker, and now he's just mm-hmm. become a wrestler, just completely opposite game plan.
Yeah, and the one time he really didn't wrestle, he tried to strike with Michael Johnson, and Michael Johnson beat him. And then he thought he won, and just one of the weirdest reactions I've ever seen. But Casey gets back on track. Hey, look, if you lose two in a row heading into that third, you got to do what you got to do to win. Yeah. But I guess he'll stick around and get another fight at least, but yikes.
Keep those checks, Mark. Keep those checks coming. 15th UFC fight, got him back over 500, 8-7 now in the UFC. Mark Jacquezi, keep those checks coming, buddy. That's mm-hmm. the name of the game, really. That's the name of the game. So keep mixing those martial arts. Can't believe I'm saying it, but keep mixing them. I guess he's really not mixing them. I guess that's what we're saying. He's now a wrestler.
He's not mixing the martial arts.
Yeah. So there you go. Hashtag keep the martial arts apart. Good job, Mark.
Yes. This is a very strange card, but it is over and done with. It ended with Jetson Almeida getting a win. You heard from us. Let's hear from you. Let's bring in Casey. I'm sure he has thoughts. Actually, I know he has thoughts. Our Slack channel was just us being like, what the hell are we watching here? And then Casey being like, this fight rules. This is the best. This is the best.
Which heavyweight fight are we talking about? Because I was like that.
Oh, what a night. What a weird card.
I loved it. Okay, what do we got here? I think it's interesting.
Let's see. Andrew F., too many people wanted Almeida to fight a Derek Lewis style of fight. How many took that route and lost the fight? Okay, look, fair question. But again, as I mentioned, and I'll let you guys chime in. But here's what we're saying is, like, New York Rick and I are pretty much on the same page. I didn't give him an F for the performance. I was a little more gracious, I guess, or a little more optimistic. But no one is saying that Jelton Almeida should have a kickboxing match with Derek Lewis. No one's saying that. What we're saying is, when you have a guy mounted and the arm triangle or any other submission you have tried has not worked, why don't you try punching him a little bit and maybe you'll get a victory? That's it. Like, be a little more ruthless down
reckless.
There.
Yeah.
Like, not reckless.
I think that's the issue here. Is it ruthless or reckless? And I think that's...
Reckless would be him having a kickboxing match with Derek Lewis and trying to, like, spinning back elbow him unconscious. But when you have full mount and nothing's working, punch him. Like, that's what's cost Mackenzie Dern style points in a lot of her performances. And when she punches, she does very well. Just ask Angela Hill what happens when Mackenzie Dern starts punching.
I'll tell you the difference, though, to me. Mackenzie Dern is actually a much bigger strawweight than Angela Hill. She has a lot more weight on top. Now, what Eric said about Almeida isn't a heavyweight. He's a 205-er. And we saw that tonight. We saw a 205-er winning a fight against a true, true heavyweight. And this is what's going to happen. That's just going to happen. He's just too small to stay on top and throw strikes. Because every time he throws a strike, that is when Derek Lewis explodes. Derek Lewis doesn't explode when you're going for the arm triangle, or you're going for any kimuras or anything like that. Very rarely, though. What he's looking for, you to explode, bring that elbow up. And once you get that elbow up, then you lose your balance. That's when Derek Lewis does this whole anti-jiu-jitsu, I'm just going to stand up. That was my impression when I'm watching the fight. And I think Almeida, who took this fight on short notice, he's had very few rounds training in the gym for a type of grappler like Derek Lewis, which is extremely unique. There's not too many bodies you can bring into the gym that are going to defend your submission attack like Derek Lewis. And that's why I give a big, kind of a big mulligan to Almeida in terms of entertaining us tonight.
Okay. I will raise you another point, though, because...
And I don't disagree with what you guys are saying. This is just kind of my kind of vision of the...
It's another angle of it. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. My raise is, it wasn't all that long ago. It was in the same country. It was earlier this year. Jelton Almeida fought an actual heavyweight, a big, huge heavyweight, arguably as big as Derek Lewis. 6'3", 263 pounds, Shamil Abdurakhimov. And you know what won him the fight, Casey? He didn't submit Shamil Abdurakhimov. He tried. And when it didn't work, what did he do in round two? He punched him in the face a lot until the referee said, okay, fight's over. That's what he did. He didn't do that here, but he did it and held a very big, strong, actual heavyweight down and punched him and won.
Was that the guy? Was he trained for that fighter? Was that the scheduled fight?
Yeah.
It wasn't even rebooked. Yeah, he was.
It was rebooked. Yeah,
three times. Yeah. Three times.
Oh yeah.
These guys are human.
I'm sorry. These guys are human. Almeida, he knows what Derek Lewis does to people. Nobody wants to be on that end. And I think that the Shamil, I don't even know his last name. The Shamil, like, he doesn't have that highlight reel. He doesn't have that fear. When you're on top of, I assume when you're on top of Derek Lewis, he's seeing these replays in his head. And these guys, brain damage is real, and they do not want to get knocked out cold by this man. And I think that plays a lot into it too.
It's a great point. So if you finish him in the second round, you give him 3-4 less chances to do that to you. If you finish him in the second round because you took him out of there with a TKO, he's not starting on the feet in the third round, in the fourth round, and in the fifth round trying to separate you from your consciousness. You're in the back enjoying your cake and pizza and on your way to enjoying it. And Derek Lewis is sent packing. So I don't have sympathy for the idea that, like, he's worried about getting knocked out. Well, then finish the fight, and then you're not going to get knocked out.
If he gets knocked out, he becomes Curtis Blades 2.0. Don't get knocked out.
Finish him. finish him in the second round.
I just don't
think it's that easy. Casey's right.
Derek Lewis is a gigantic man. He cuts to 265. Almeida is a bloated 230 something.
So there's 45 pounds
of giant muscle, and that's on the
there's
UFC.
There's an answer for that one.
You're heavyweight. Yeah, that's on the UFC.
You know the Adam Silver, like, enjoy China buddy meme whenever somebody has a bad NBA game. Jalton Almeida, enjoy 205. Dana White, put a Dana White meme out. Jalton Almeida, enjoy 205. If that's the answer, that he's not capable of finishing Derek Lewis at 265, enjoy 205, buddy. Enjoy it. Go down and do it there.
He dominated a two-time heavyweight title challenger. Like, he's a legitimate, like, top 15 ranked guy. Like, he dominated. And Casey's right. Casey, one of the best points Casey brought up is that what we see is Lewis Almeida just hover. Lewis Almeida. There is a Lucas Almeida.
It sounds like
I know that guy.
Jalton Almeida, what we saw, and this looked bad. I said in our chat, like, if someone just kind of tuned in to any random moment of this fight, they'd be very confused with what's happening, because there were moments where Jalton's, like, literally kind of hovering over him, either in mount or some really weird moments, like in side control, where he didn't appear to be administering that much pressure, but Derek Lewis was still kind of just lying on his back. So it was a funny looking fight at times. But I think Casey's right, when we see Derek Lewis lying on his back, almost looks like he's doing nothing. He is waiting. He's waiting for Almeida to, like, throw, you know, overextend on a ground strike, to change his balance, because he's going to throw a ground strike. And Almeida should be good enough. I agree. I get it. Should be good enough to overcome that, but Lewis is very rare. Like, he is equipped in a unique way to defend against, you know, ground offense, right? So I think we all agree would have liked to see a finish. I think Casey and I are just a little more sympathetic to why that just didn't happen tonight.
The other thing I'll say is, a lot of times in MMA, there's, like, the word domination is only applied to, like, a long extended control/period of delivering damage. It's not more dominant than finishing a fight. And that's the most dominant thing you can do. And I think we lose sight of that at times. And I think that phrase, like, domination, is thrown around a lot. No, Islam Makhachev dominated Alex Volkanovski. That's what domination looks like. This wasn't that special. I'm sorry. Like, it was fine. It was what he needed to get the job done. It was not special. It was not a good performance.
I understand
Eric's logic, but I'm honestly on the other end of that. If I'm in a fight and someone chokes me out in the first round, or I get completely dominated for 25 minutes, that 25 minutes I go, I'm going to come out thinking that guy is better. I'm more impressed by someone dominating me for 25 minutes straight than kind of getting me. But I get it. It's a we're all kind of seeing the same thing, but just kind of a little bit different angles.
Yeah, and I think the 10-8 scores, I think they're pretty defensible, because we all say all the time, well, the first thing we say is MMA scoring sucks, which is true. And the second thing we say is like, okay, well, but how can we like figure things out within the system that we have to deal with? And like we all talk about all the time, like listless rounds that are scored 10-9s that are so indefinite, and we have to differentiate between that, right? So some of the, like, I don't know, some of those Nascimento Mays rounds, some of those Bohalio Magomedov rounds were like okay, but not like nothing you would score a 10-8, right? And they're kind of nondescript, they're fine, you can sort of tilt it in one way. When you have rounds like this that are so clearly tilted one fighter's way, I know it's frustrating to not see a finish, but how can you score those the same way, right? Like, we have to make 10-8s, we have to use 10-8s
by something. The way, yeah, I was having the mic issues in the beginning. I have no problem with 10-8s across the board. If you wanted to score a 10-8s across the board, great. I'm still saying that he failed what his mission was, but that's fine. You can score those 10-8s. I wouldn't argue with you at all. 50-40, great. Failure. Submit and finish Derek Lewis.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I just saw a different mission for Almeida. That's all.
Sure. Whatever that was, wasn't the mission that I saw or he needed to accomplish.
Yeah. Look, he won. He won. And that's really the most important check mark, right?
But like, I think to answer that question, I don't think any of us wanted him to kickbox with Derek Lewis. That's not, I wasn't interested in that.
Yeah, either. Yeah.
No. Nobody wanted to see that.
That's not what we meant. Yeah, that's not what we meant.
That'd be silly.
I know it's silly, but would him kickboxing with Derek Lewis, would that be the only way we learn something new tonight about Almeida?
maybe.
Potentially.
Because if he wanted to say finish him in the first round, whatever, conversation is different, but we still didn't learn anything about Almeida.
I learned something about Almeida, that he can't finish Derek Lewis across five rounds. I think that was,
well, you know what? They ain't gonna fight again, so I don't think we're gonna have to worry about that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just want to read that. I closed the poll. A lot of votes came in, and it wasn't changing much. So D or lower grade for Gelson Almeida, 47%, way ahead. And then C, 26%. So C or lower, 73%. So there you go. The people have spoken. I can say what I want. The people have spoken.
People graded Derek. Okay, whatever.
See, I'm just saying. This is Casey, this is the voice of the people. I'm not saying I agree. I'm not saying that they had to explain
this guy
it.
Right. That's here. I speak for them. I hear you out there. I'm taking one your of those energy. Votes. I'm taking your energy and giving it.
73%, C or lower. 73%.
I wonder, honestly, and I'm actually kind of curious about this. I wonder how the people would grade Derek Lewis's performance.
Oh, should I throw him in? Should we make this official? Okay, I'll throw out the poll now.
All right.
I kind of feel like he might get a higher grade.
We have to grant that some of that is like expectation, sentiment of like feeling like I didn't get my money's worth or whatever, you know, on ESPN Plus. I didn't get my time sufficiently filled. But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked.
By Jalen Almeida. That's a win. That's a win for him in some people's eyes.
The one thing about this fight,
though, by his submission, by his submission defense, Casey, you learned more about Derek Lewis than you learned about Jalen Almeida tonight.
I learned there's a little bit more to his ground game than I think we want to give him credit for. I have to watch the video again. I think you're in the last 45 seconds of the fifth round or something. Almeida had side control, and it literally looked like he forgot. Wait, he forgot that he was in a fight, and it looked like Lewis just kind of like snuck out. Like, I'm just gonna stand up, and Almeida's like, "Oh crap, we're still fighting," and like it was just like there were definitely moments in that fight. It was a weird fight. It was such a weird fight.
It was.
It's a joke at this point, but there are literally moments throughout Derek Lewis's career where he just stands up. Like, even though it has become a meme and become a joke, he has done that effectively multiple times. Like, it's real.
And we know how good Almeida is on the ground, so that must – I don't know how he does – I think that's one that Derek is just lying there, just almost kind of just looking at the lights, just looking around when he's – I think it really just – I don't know. Like, Almeida just kind of just forgot what he was doing for a moment. It's really,
yeah, the lack of urgency lulls people into their own lack of urgency. There's a reality to that, yeah, for sure.
Derek's face didn't, like, his face didn't change at, yeah, all in the entire fight. He didn't grimace. He didn't take a deep breath. It was just like this the whole time.
Yeah.
But to Casey's point, strategically, like, there is method to the madness, yeah, and he knows what he's doing when he does this stuff. It's not just like it became a joke, but there's real concepts rooted in the way that Derek Lewis defends himself.
Yeah. And Almeida was ready for that. Because as soon as, yeah, Derek Lewis got up, he just tackled him right back to the ground.
That's right.
Just did
That's
the
right.
same thing again.
The fact that Derek Lewis got that far up is super impressive. I think there was like one round where Derek Lewis almost stopped the takedown, and it was like this incredible scramble, actually. And yeah, I think if you take that 25-minute fight and kind of make a 1-minute highlight or a 90-second highlight, it would be really exciting, by the way. But there was lots of, yeah, definitely minutes in between where, like, okay. Yeah,
you could cut this into an incredibly exciting performance for Almeida.
What did you guys make of Goddard, like, potentially threatening to stand them up, or I don't know if he was potentially threatening to stand them up, but like asking for activity and mount. What did you make of that?
I'm kind of okay.
As long as he never
it.
Stood him up, I'm fine. With, yeah, it. As long as he never actually stood, okay, him up, I don't mind them. Hey, we gotta keep going. I don't mind that. Yeah.
Okay.
He never actually stood him up. So I'm kind
of. I only ask because it's so bizarre to see in those types of positions. But
it was.
That's all I. Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, early returns in the poll, guys. Deer lower still. Obviously, Derek lost the fight. 30, but only 32%. 18% saying A. If I recall the Almeida poll, it was like 8% A, 14% or something.
8%
like
A? So, who are these people? Like, who are you?
I swear it wasn't me. I did not. I cannot vote.
It wasn't even AK.
It wasn't even me. But Derek Lewis, A, 18% A, 23% B. So doing much better than Almeida's grade. I'll say that right now.
Derek Lewis gets a performance bonus.
Oh my God.
Listen, he's got an eight fight contract. So you think he's not just happy to just keep like just getting these show up, get a fight off contract, get these checks? Like,
nice. Derek Lewis is gonna fly back home, go to Houston tomorrow, and he's gonna be able to buy a brand new Lamborghini in cash.
Yeah.
So
and probably fight again soon. Yeah. Probably fight again soon. I'll probably see him in Toronto.
Derek Lewis has MMA figured out properly. Derek Lewis is doing it correctly. So yeah, no shade to Derek Lewis.
Yeah,
at
Derek
all.
Lewis actually. Yeah. Yeah. Derek Lewis won tonight. No matter what, he won.
Yeah. Yeah. He probably made five times more than Jelton Almeida made tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. He's gonna go home. Yeah.
He's not gonna. He's gonna go home, and he's not gonna watch any MMA at all. And the only time he's actually going to pay attention to what's going on in the UFC is when he flies to his next location to get ready for a fight. That's it. He's going to go live his life and cash a big fat paycheck. And he didn't get finished by Jelton Almeida. Yeah. Not a bad night at the office. Not a bad night. No marks in his face. Doesn't even look like he was really in a fight.
Sounds like Mike has an A for Derek Lewis from Mike.
Yeah, it was all Mike. Now that I think about it, it is an A for Derek Lewis. Now that I think about it.
He did survive. He did survive. Again, we got more questions answered. We learned more about Derek Lewis tonight than we learned about Jelton Almeida, which is insane. Absolutely insane.
25 minutes. Derek Lewis, we never got it before.
We never got it.
We've seen Derek Lewis.
History.
We saw history.
Where were you? Where were you when Derek Lewis fought 25 minutes?
Never seen it.
Oh, man.
Okay, there were other things tonight. Hold on.
We'll take a couple. I mean, I don't know what else we could say here. Tough night for Gabriel Bonfim. It seemed like it was so funny. Like, even on Twitter, everyone was like dumping on Ishmael Bonfim, especially when the fight was canceled because he missed weight. Because Vince Michel was like, "Nah, I'm not going to like give this guy the chance to make money because he didn't even try to make weight." And everyone's like, "Don't worry about it. Gabriel's the better Bonfim, anyways. Like, he's the guy we need to pay attention to." And boy, he looked good in that first round. And then it's just he fought Nicholas Dalby in Brazil. And that's just a disaster waiting to happen. So much is on Dalby's side. But I don't know. Where do we – New York Rick, where does Gabriel Bonfim go from here? Tough loss. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't think this affects him too much. Like, how many guys have we seen that start out as sprinters in the UFC and then all of a sudden kind of settle into like the idea that I'm not just going to go in there and blow the doors off guys? I think this was more just like – if, you know, Conor Burks for one, and I think a few people were all over the line. Like, this was just a mispriced fight. Like, Dalby is too tough and too good that if he was able to weather that storm, he was going to give Bonfim hell. And Bonfim was sprinting like he's done in his UFC career, and it has served him well, and it has made him successful, and it has made him a name that, like, we talk about, right? He's a name that if he had just gone out there and had three listless wins, we wouldn't be talking about. But he stamped himself in the UFC with these first round finishes. He'll learn to stop sprinting and he'll be absolutely fine, and he'll still be very lethal, and I'm not concerned about him at all. I think that the Bonfim guys are both really good. Like, I'm confident that they'll learn to the pace. And let's call it what it was. Like, a lot of his fights, he's snatching up necks and taking opportunities. If those fights went longer, we probably would have learned more. Tonight, we got to learn more. That's all. Like, that's all I take away from him. I'm not concerned about his long-term prospects.
Yeah. The guy is an incredible talent, but Nicholas Dalby is the one guy you're not going to overwhelm. You're not going to bum rush him. He's never been finished. He has one finish that was overturned. And that was shocking when it happened. I remember, I think Jesse Ronson. So that one got overturned. So fine. He's got finished once, whether you care about the no becoming a no contest or not. Other than that, man, he does not get overwhelmed. He'll get hurt. He'll bleed for sure. He's bled his fair share in some of his fights, but you cannot just pour out you cannot just pour it all out in the first round and think you're going to get him out of there, because it is I actually picked Bonfim by decision because I thought he was going to win, but I didn't think he could finish Dalby. Dalby, you know, winning was definitely like a great call, like you said, New York Rick. He was way higher in underdog than he probably should have been. But this is a learning moment for Gilbert Bonfim, because there's guys you can do that to, for sure. We've seen it. He's taken a lot of people out in the first round. But a guy like this, you got to be a little more tactical. You've got to get, you know, we got to test the waters a little more, because Dalby has been in it, man. And Gabriel Bonfim just experienced that firsthand. But yeah, a very important fight for both guys.
There's literally levels to this. Like, he's used to just going in there smoking guys. Now he's at a level where that does not work. You cannot just go in there and empty the tank in round one. You have to be smarter. You have to have more strategy to it, and you have to be able to last longer. I'm fairly confident he will figure that out, but this was the fight he needed to figure that out. You need to hit the wall one time, and then you recover and you figure it out.
Yeah,
it's, I agree. Every fighter like this needs that moment to go, oh, I can also be the nail, you know?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Going back in time now, but this reminds me when John Fitch beat Eric Silva in Brazil. And remember, Eric Silva was like just the hyper super prospect, and John Fitch is like the veteran. Yep. And just basically the old man John Fitch won. And Nicholas Dalby being, I think he was like 38 or something like that. I didn't realize he was that old. Pretty incredible performance. Inspiring performance from Nicholas Dalby.
Yeah. I mean, look, we saw it not exactly the same, but we saw it in the Angela Hill Denise Gomes fight. Like, very, very similar. Gomes started off good, and Hill used that veteran savvy and got over the top. And how about Angela Overkill Hill getting it done?
Give her flowers. Let's give her
good
some
shit,
flowers.
Man.
I think what I took away from that was, like, not only did Angela Hill win that fight through experience, but she's evolving. She truly is evolving. She probably lost the striking overall, but it was her full MMA game, her wrestling, her submission defense, which won her that fight. And that's, I think this is Angela Hill we're saying this about, and that's pretty dang impressive. I think she's 38, 39 right now. You know, she's clearly kind of past her athletic prime, but she is still gaining knowledge about mixed martial arts and still becoming a smarter fighter in that cage. And awesome.
I think there's a tendency in MMA, and especially as it relates to the UFC, to kind of like only think about people in their title prospects and kind of discard them if they're not going to be a champion or don't look like they have opportunities to be a champion. But like Dalby, Hill, they're examples of like, there's people out here who just are making careers and continuing to improve and continuing to be like high level good fighters. And there's no shame in that path. Like, that's a really cool kind of path for people to take that aren't going to necessarily be a champion. But that's not like, if we're only thinking about who's going to be a champion, there's like three fights that are going to happen on each card and the rest get discarded. And tonight was a nice like little reminder of that. We get these occasionally where it's just like, yeah, there's like lots of really good fighters in the UFC who are not going to be a champion, but kick ass. And that was cool to see.
Yeah, look, if we had that line of thinking, we'd have no Dan Ige fights. We'd have no Edson Barboza fights at this point. We'd have no no Neil Magny, we'd have no Tisha Torres, we'd have no Angela Hill, and the list goes on and on and on of litmus tests that are very important to the evolution of certain fighters. Some fighters are ready to get to that next level, but you got to go out there and beat that person. Like, you got to go out there and get a win over like the 15th ranked person or the 16th ranked person, the veteran set, the Andre Feelys of the world. Like, that's how you know that like you're ready for that next step up for the upper echelon of the division. You have to pass those little litmus tests, and they're important. They're important. What a performance by Angela Hill. She just grimed it up late in that fight, and it was good stuff. It's just good stuff.
Yeah. I think we're good, gentlemen.
Nice.
Maybe. Yes, we did a great job. We did a great job.
I give us an A.
We got an A plus.
Solid A.
Yeah, okay. Fair.
Results of the poll. Results of the Derek Lewis poll, please.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, it didn't change much from the last reading, but yeah, 33% D or lower, he did lose, but B, 22%, A, 19%. So 41% saying he more than passed.
Derek Lewis. Hey, congrats, Derek Lewis. Great victory tonight.
Hey, what a win. What a win.
Got a fat paycheck, first fight, or second fight, I guess, of his 8-fight deal, whatever it is. But, you know, I'm sure he's sitting pretty, going home without much damage to that beautiful face. And yeah, he's doing all right.
What a crazy night. Well, listen, we're officially on the road to UFC 295. Not quite yet. AK and I will do some matchmaking tomorrow. We'll have more thoughts about the futures of these fighters and where they go and how to actually call out the right names and not make bad callouts. More on that tomorrow and on to the next one. But until then, everybody, for AK, for Casey, for New York Rick, I am Mike Keck. Thank you for watching. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.